Before we jump in, if we could ask God's blessing, if you can bow your head for a moment. Heavenly Father, we're grateful, grateful that you provided a Sabbath where we can gather together with under your will, Father, and to learn more about you, to focus, Father, on understanding what you would have us to know. I want to ask, Father, for your inspiration, Father, that you would lift us up with better knowledge of who you are and what you wish us to know. So we ask for your blessing now on this Bible study in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Today I want to cover the criticisms of Jesus. If we take a look at the criticisms of Jesus, we'll find that these parallel the criticisms that we face today as followers of Jesus. And one of the first things that he was criticized for was how he kept the Sabbath. If we go to Matthew 12, and we're going to focus on just a couple of examples here. Matthew 12, verses 1 and 2. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry. He began to pluck heads of grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." In other words, they put their hand to their mouth to eat. And he said, as they walk by. Now, if we go back, we can take a look through the Pentateuch, the first few books of the Bible, how Israel was instructed to leave the corners of their field for the travelers and those who didn't have their own property, or they were not to harvest a second time over their orchards, so that those who were in need could get out and have that done. And so here, Jesus and the disciples were passing through. Now, this isn't grain like we're thinking of here, because they didn't have wheat or such. So we don't know, or corn as we know it. But they were grabbing a handful and eating it. And the Pharisees were getting after them. And so the Pharisees, to their understanding, was a sect of Jews. And they were very, very particular, very persnickety, saying, "Look at how righteous we are. We're doing things over and above and beyond what those ordinary lesser humans are doing." And if you take a look at the Sabbath day, the instruction was, Exodus 20, verse 8, to keep the Sabbath holy. Makes sense. Well, what does that mean? It means, if we take a look in Strong's, it's apart, set apart, it's sacred. And the word holy actually means set apart for a special purpose. And so they said, you're not doing what you're supposed to do by eating grain on the Sabbath. If we take a look at the biblical use of the word holy, the English word holy is used 611 times in 544 verses in the King James Version of the Bible. The word holiness is recorded an additional 43 times. In the Old Testament alone, holy is found 430 times in 375 verses. It's mentioned the most in the book of Leviticus, followed by the book of Exodus. Well, so we were told in Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Well, then, who made the Sabbath? We turn to Matthew 12:8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. You would think that Jesus would know how to keep the Sabbath. And so, but he's being criticized for what he's doing and how he's keeping the Sabbath. So if we take a look at Colossians 1 and 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. And you think, what do you mean invisible? When I was about 8 or 9 years old, and there was a chicken barn, a one-story chicken barn on the farm where I grew up, and I crawled up the backside of hopping from the brooder house to the top of the chicken barn, And I went to the far end. I said, that's silly. I don't want to walk way back and climb down. It isn't too far from the ground. I'll just jump from here. Well, as a little kid, I had never tried that before. And that's the day I discovered how your ankle bones can get shoved into your armpits. When I jumped off, the ground came up awfully fast. And I discovered a more severe understanding of gravity. It was invisible, but it was consistently there. In fact, we fall at a rate of, 32 feet per second? And every second that we fall, we double it, or meaning 64 feet for the next second, or not double, but add 32 feet, 96 feet for the third second, unless there's something in the way, like the ground and resistance. So we have all of these laws of the universe that were created, not just the Sabbath, but it said all things were created through him and for him. Well, but the Pharisees made continuous accusations of Jesus about the Sabbath. Matthew 12 and verse 9. Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Now it was a setup. They wanted to accuse Jesus. Now, I mentioned I've been to church in North Dakota many years ago, and they used to meet in a Jewish synagogue. The Jews met on Friday evening, and the church rented the synagogue for Saturday afternoon. And there was an occasion where the rabbi came out, and he asked one of the church members who was coming there early if he could come in because the lights weren't on. And he went in, and the church member went in and flipped the lights on and found out the only reason the lights weren't on is because the rabbi didn't want to do any work on the Sabbath. So he didn't flip the light switch. And once the light was flipped on, then he could go about and do some of his activities that he wanted to. And that's when the church member found out that they would not use the water faucet or flush the toilet either, because that would involve work to do those things, to turn a handle or a knob. They were very persnickety, if I could use that term, or very particular, because they didn't want to disrupt what their image or their view of holiness about the Sabbath. If we read in Isaiah 58 and verse 13, this is in the Common English Bible translation. It's about respecting the holiness of the Sabbath in Isaiah 58:13. If you stop trampling the Sabbath, stop doing whatever you want on my holy day, and consider the Sabbath a delight, sacred to the Lord, honored, and honor it instead of doing things your way, seeking what you want and doing business as usual. In other words, stop doing the things that you shouldn't be doing and respect and honor the Sabbath as a what? As a delight, not as a problem. Well, what were the Pharisees doing? They were creating problems instead of honoring the Sabbath as a delight. Now, in Isaiah, in other words, we don't do our routine shopping on the Sabbath. We don't go to sporting events or entertainment venues, concerts and plays and that sort, because that would be looking for our interests. Rather, the holiness of the Sabbath is focused on prayer, Bible study, meditation, fellowship, and worshiping together. Well, what happens is the Pharisees missed the big picture. In Matthew 23, verse 23, Jesus made it very clear. Matthew 23:23, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? A person who says one thing but does another thing. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. And if you take a look at those are little tiny little leaves. And they were counting them out to make sure they could count out these little leaves. So they didn't want to make a mistake. They didn't like weigh it up, for example. They were counting it out. It says, you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. And so, if we go back to Micah 6:8, Micah, I'm just referencing this one. He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? This sort of aligns with Matthew 23:23, justice, mercy, and faith. So what were the Pharisees doing? They were making life hard, but they weren't thinking about justice, mercy, and faith. They were being persnickety and not paying attention to the weightier matters of the law. They were making life difficult for others. Now, and you say, well, why were they? Well, the Pharisees were angry. And we're told in Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. Is that going to turn out well if you make a friendship with an angry man? Think it'll turn out well if you get in league with a furious man? If we read also in Proverbs and in 29:22, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. So stirring up strife, meaning making life hard for others, and frankly for themselves as well. So the Pharisees were demonstrating they were not peaceful, happy people. They were always looking for something to blame somebody else about, and particularly when they were trying to blame Jesus, without a full understanding of who the Creator was. The other thing, and this was about keeping the Sabbath, and keeping the Sabbath as holy. The other thing that the Pharisees were criticized Jesus for was with whom he kept company. Who did he associate with? In Matthew 9, verses 10 and 11, Jesus sat at the table in the house, and behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Good question, right? If you don't want to associate with those people, because commonly they knew that tax collectors, they took a little extra and lined their own pocket with it. That was historically the understanding. And yet, Jesus was talking to them. So at first glance then, did the Pharisees have a valid point? Because Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 5:9, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. If you go back to the original language, it would say fornicator, which could mean both physical and spiritual. Verse 10, yet I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. Since then you would need to go out of the world. In other words, you couldn't go anywhere, because people who are spiritually impure are everywhere. Verse 11, but I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is immoral, covetous, idolater, reviler, or drunkard, or extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. So it's those who claim to be of the faith rather than everybody up and down the street. So do the Pharisees have a point here? Because were the tax collectors and the sinners? Doesn't say they were converted people. They were attending. Now, if we take a look what also the Apostle Paul warned about bad company in 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So we shouldn't hang around those people. That's not good for us, right? In Proverbs 13:20, we explore this a little further in Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So if you want to hang around somebody, you want to hang around somebody who's doing bad things? Or do you want to hang around with somebody who makes wise choices? Because the companion of fools, It says will suffer harm. And that's the English Standard Version, 2 Corinthians 6:14. We read, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? So as believers, we have a responsibility to be careful in our relationships, in our associations, that we make the right decisions. And if we take a look then in Matthew 9 and verse 10, one is to go back and notice the tax collectors and sinners came to Jesus. It doesn't say he chased them down and went to sit with them. And it didn't say just one or two. It said many. They came. Why? Why do you suppose they did? Because he was a draw. He was saying something of interest to them. And perhaps in their minds there was a level of conversion that was coming. In verse 11, when the Pharisees saw it, they said, why does the teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? It doesn't say Jesus went to them. It says they came to him. Now, we were in 2 Corinthians. We read about 2 Corinthians 6, about being unequally yoked. But let's explore that a little more, because Jesus and his disciples were not yoked to unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 16:14, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, a pagan god? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. So where should we invest our time? We shouldn't be investing it with yoked with unbelievers. We're to invest our lives in relationships with godly people, not ungodly people. And this, in the very first Psalm, Psalm 1, it's blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of God, and his law he meditates day and night. Ever known anybody who is scornful? Scornful of the truth? Scornful of believers? Sitting in the seat of the scornful, he talks about being in the path of sinners in the same breath, the counsel of the ungodly. Because we are to be blessed if we delight in the law of God. And it's part of our focus in life. Now, the problem here with the Pharisees is that they were looking with a microscope and they didn't see the big picture. They were, and we read in Matthew 23:23, Jesus called them scribes and Pharisees hypocrite. Well, they were omitting or neglecting the weightier matters of justice, mercy, and faith. So if somebody is pointing out something that you should do better, do you suppose they would be very convincing if they were loud and profane and angry, even if they were right? Would that be very convincing for someone to say, would they be exercising the weighty matters of the law? I would think not. So if we're looking here and following Micah 6:8 about to do justly and to love mercy and walk humbly with your God, do you walk humbly with your God by saying, look at me, look how righteous I am. You should do what I do, but then you can be righteous like I am. Doesn't that sound like a scribe and a Pharisee here, the hypocrite part, where in Matthew 23? And if they do so in a vain and repetitious manner, doesn't that raise your eyebrow that they have somehow missed the weightier matters of the law? Jesus saw it. And he saw it very distinctly because he was attacked on those two fields, how he kept the Sabbath and who he associated with. All of us, I would say, at some point will also be attacked on keeping of the Sabbath and who we associate with. But remember, Jesus was attacked the same way. So let's take a look then as we go through the scripture and go through the criticisms of Jesus, saying, those are the same criticisms that we will face as we pad through life. Okay? If you have any hard questions, write them down. If any easy questions, you can ask me later.